With the latest agriculture news from across the state and nation, it's time for the AgNet News Hour from AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey everyone, Danielle Leal here, and thanks for getting your agriculture news with me today. Following the passing of California Senator Dianne Feinstein last week, agricultural groups chose to remember her work to strengthen California's farms and rural communities. Western Growers President Dave Puglia said, quote, "Senator Feinstein's public service to California will be remembered fondly by people from every region of the state, from urban to rural. For those striving to protect and strengthen California's farms and the communities connected to agriculture, Senator Feinstein was our champion. She leaned into seemingly intractable issues, especially water supply and immigration, to bring diverse interests together." California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson says, quote, "Her willingness to be a bipartisan, rational voice in seeking real solutions knew no bounds, as she tackled issues from forest stewardship in the Sierra Nevada to helping farm communities in the Central Valley. Senator Feinstein was a steadfast supporter of the Golden State's critical agriculture sector, and her unwavering faith in the people of California was her greatest quality." Feinstein served in the Senate for 31 years. And now it's time to jump into today's show headlines. Reaction to the Bay Delta Updated Report. In 2016, the California State Water Resources Control Board proposed updates to the Bay Delta Plan to include increasing flows in the Delta to protect fish populations. Many agricultural groups, however, expressed concern, saying this would negatively impact rural communities, water supplies, farms, and the economy. The Water Board recently released its Bay Delta Water Quality Control Updated Staff Report. The report, which has been in the works since 2018, studies the alternatives to keeping healthy ecosystems for fish, and it took considerations from water agencies, cities, and agricultural groups. California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson thanked the governor for his commitment to using voluntary agreements between water users and public agencies by stating, quote, "It's long been clear that flows increase without other support actions won't bring back fish. Utilizing voluntary agreements under the Healthy Rivers Alternatives is California's best opportunity to protect the future of the Delta watershed and those who depend on it. This plan would usher in a new era of collaboration, providing healthy ecosystems and water supply reliability for millions of Californians." He added, quote, "This document is the culmination of countless hours spent by farmers, ranchers, water board staff, and other stakeholders. We are grateful to all of them for their work." And now here's AgNet West's Brian German with more agriculture news.
Potato trials are showing some interesting results for different varieties. Kern County Vegetable Crops Advisor Jaspreet Sidhu provided some details on the 2023 potato variety trial.
This year we had 15 entries in the Southwest Regional Trial. A couple of chippers from Colorado State performed really well, and the growers had interest in them, and they performed much better than our standard Atlantic and Snowden. So two chippers stood out in the Southwest Regional Trial. In our corn replicated trial, we had 7 entries, and a few varieties were like really good looking, and I think a couple of growers have already adopted those varieties, like Columba and Valor. And Valor was our overall winner in the trial with good yields and good quality tubers. Columba had really good, amazing tubers, nice skin settings, tuber size was uniform. And then there was another one, the red variety, Red Rascal, which also performed really good as it's a specialty red potatoes.
Industry groups are working on new trade potential in both new markets for almonds and methods of transport. Almond Alliance President Aubrey Betancourt said they've had some successes in responding to supply chain issues, but there's still room for improvement.
What you're seeing now is an easier movement of goods as the global economy really has taken its toll on consumption. So that has allowed and afforded for a bit less congestion as we've seen in the last 2 years. We are still seeing a number of trade routes not available off of the West Coast. And so the evolution that the almond industry really pioneered was the idea of multimodal, multi-port, utilizing rail, other trucking networks and nexuses and hubs to move product to other ports that had the sailings that we were looking for. And so you still find a lot of almonds going out through Houston or through Norfolk or through Savannah in order to find the right shipping route into places like the Middle East, parts of Europe and even India itself. And we're really happy to see progress being made. And we're hoping to leverage that into progress in other parts of the world, such as Turkey, which is another major market point for almonds, which also has retaliatory tariffs in place. And so we're actively actually working now with the administration to pivot from the great work they've done in India. Okay, let's take that momentum to Turkey and do the exact same playbook. And let's get product moving and get American goods on the shelves again in these really important trade partners around the world.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
You're listening to AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leo. We'll be right back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
We want everyone to breathe clean, healthy air, but California's traffic and mountains don't make it easy. Our mountains trap pollution, making us more vulnerable to dirty air. Today's farmers are voluntarily doing their part with help from USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. How? By replacing older diesel-powered tractors and equipment, treating dusty farm roads, avoiding open burning, and more. Can't afford it? NRCS has invested $178 million helping California farmers clean our air. They can help you too. NRCS, helping people help the land since 1935.
Welcome back to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal, tossing it right on over to Sabrina Halverson with today's National Spotlight.
In today's National Spotlight, not knowing what would happen over the weekend, the White House on Friday began preparing for the impacts of a government shutdown. During a White House press call, assistant and senior advisor to the president and director of intergovernmental affairs, Tom Perez, discussed, among other things, how a shutdown would affect farmers.
Your former labor secretary, I know that we operated a wide array of programs. Workplace safety will be jeopardized because people can't conduct the inspections. At the FDA, food safety inspections will be jeopardized because of this closure. If you are a farmer and you rely on the loan programs at the USDA, and so many people rely on them for that lifeline, those will be in jeopardy as well. And farmers don't have the luxury of time. They can't say, oh, I'll just come back in a couple months or a couple weeks. They need the help now. We have so many communities that are thriving because of the historic investments of the president in the American Rescue Plan, in the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill, in the CHIPS Act, in the Inflation Reduction Act. We work so carefully and closely with local jurisdictions on the implementation of these bills. And they require communication between our government officials and our communities. Those folks will be furloughed. So these projects will come to a halt.
He also said it could affect several other areas.
Service members won't get their paychecks. And so many people live from paycheck to paycheck. So how do you pay the bills? You got to work, but you don't get paid until this comes to an end. Travelers will face delays or could face delays in the airports. Food safety inspections are potentially delayed. Critical research on diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's would be stalled. There are so many critical safety net programs. One, for example, the women's the WIC program that helps new mothers and their newborns. 7 million, over 7 million people will lose their access to WIC, over 7 million people, disproportionately Black and brown. And we have, according to Secretary Vilsack, about 2 days worth of capacity in a shutdown to continue that program.
Small Business Administrator Isabella Guzman said the nation has been in a state of progress and a shutdown would threaten that.
In the exact moment that we're seeing such high rates of interest in the American dream of business ownership, and they're taking their ideas to market, and many others are still trying to recover from the pandemic. Let's remember, a lot of them took a gut punch caused by the pandemic shutdowns and the impacts on their revenues. You know, the extreme Republican shutdown risks sabotaging America's economic progress for our most vulnerable businesses, our small businesses, who we know are the giants in our economy. And the main reason for that is it could cut off really critical sources of capital for so many of our smallest of the small businesses and underserved communities. Because when the government shuts down, SBA cannot process loan applications through its process. We support over $40 billion a year in funding to our small businesses. We get hundreds of those every single day. process through the SBA. But when the SBA can't do its job, millions of dollars in potential loans will end up sitting on the sidelines, really stunting that small business growth that we've been seeing. And we are so dependent on them for our continued recovery. And they're dependent on our capital to start and grow.
That's today's National Spotlight. I'm Sabrina Halverson for Agnet West.
Thanks, Sabrina. And now for today's livestock report, here's Randall Wiseman.
Well, in today's livestock news, when USDA released their September cattle on feed report a week ago, it noted there were 11.1 million head on feed in the U.S., which is down 2% from a year ago. But some are questioning if cattle producers are starting to actually hold back a few heifers for additions to the breeding herd, or if they're continuing to send them to feedlots. As Gary Crawford reports, we may have a better answer to all of that in just a few weeks.
Besides the fact that beef cattle numbers are significantly below this time a year ago, there's really nothing in USDA's latest cattle feedlot report last week that would give us a clue as to whether or not producers are ready to start the process of rebuilding the cattle herd. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell says for that clue, we'll have to wait a few weeks for the next cattle feedlot report.
Next month's report will also include a breakout of cattle on feed, not just overall, but also by sex. So we'll have a look at the steers and heifers that are on feed. And that might give us a little bit more insight into whether or not heifers are going into the feedlot to be finished out for beef production in the next few months, or whether or not they might be retained for the next breeding cycle we have coming up. But for better or worse, we're going to have to wait until next month to get that additional insight.
So mark your calendars and stay tuned. That next report comes out October 20th. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. Of course, looking back at that September cattle on feed report, it also noted placements in feedlots during August at 2 million head was 5% below last year. Marketings of fed cattle during August at 1.88 million head was 6% below last year. And the 2023 World Dairy Expo is underway this week in Madison, Wisconsin. It brings in thousands of dairy producers from around the nation and around the world. Events began yesterday and will run through this Friday. Now, one of those events is a dairy symposium featuring the dairy business innovation initiatives from across the country. It'll be held tomorrow and will feature a panel that includes a representative from each of the four DBI initiatives. The initiatives, of course, provide direct technical assistance and sub-awards to dairy businesses to develop produce, market, and distribute dairy products. And of course, World Dairy Expo is home to one of the best-known dairy cattle shows in the world. This is made possible by the numerous outstanding breeders, barn crews, owners, volunteers, and so many others involved. Last year, over 2,600 head of cattle were housed by over 1,800 owners, representing 36 states and 5 Canadian provinces. The breed shows this week will be held each and every day. There will also be over 50 seminars, sessions, and industry-hosted events throughout the week. World Dairy Expo is a place to get in the know about a variety of things happening in the global dairy industry. Hosted Tuesday through Friday in tandem with Expo's trade show, all educational events are included with a gate admission, or you can even live stream them via the Expo TV throughout the week. Learn more at worlddairyexpo.com. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
You're listening to Agnet News Hour by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leo. We'll be right back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
October 12th is National Farmers Day, a time dedicated to those who wake before the sun rises and often work until long after it sets. Thanks to farmers' tireless efforts, we have the food, feed, fiber, and fuel we need here in America and plenty more for export. Best of all, farmers produce all of this sustainably, so that future generations can have the same bounty. Today and every day, please join Syngenta in honoring the men and women of American agriculture.
You've been listening to the Agnet News Hour by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Welcome back. We've got more of the day's agriculture news right now.
A look at which countries spend the most on food. That's coming up on This Land of Ours. Consumers in low-income countries spend a greater portion of their budgets on food than those in higher-income countries, that according to USDA's Economic Research Service. In low-income African and South Asian countries, spending on food accounted for more than 40% of total consumer expenditures in 2022. This contrasts with higher-income economies in Latin America, including Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico, where an average of about 22.5% of budgets was spent on food. In emerging markets such as Brazil, India, and China, where incomes are rising, the share of discretionary income spent on non-food categories has increased. In higher-income economies, including the United States, Switzerland, Australia, and Canada, disposable incomes remain larger, and the share of food of consumer expenditures is smaller than those in countries where urban communities are still expanding. I'm Sabrina Halverson for Agnet West.
This is the Agricultural Law and Tax Report. I'm Roger McCowan. The tax code provides numerous tax deferral strategies that can help farmers deal with weather-related losses to crops and livestock. Weather can cause substantial impacts on a farming or ranching operation. Fortunately, a farmer or rancher can use the tax code to help with resulting tax issues. For example, crop insurance proceeds and disaster payments can be deferred if they result from the destruction or damage to crops caused by drought, flood, or other natural disaster, or are prevented planting payments. You can also defer the income from livestock you sold that were more than you normally would if you are located in an area eligible for federal assistance. If you dispose of draft dairy or breeding livestock due to weather, you can defer the gain by purchasing replacement livestock. The same deferral technique applies to farm equipment, sheds, and barns. All of these techniques have special rules that apply, so get good tax advice. Also, you might qualify for an automatic 60-day extension of time to file the tax return. On its website, the IRS maintains a list of areas that qualify for the extended deadline. For 2023, there are at least 17 states and territories that qualify for the relief. In addition, the IRS has discretion to extend the filing deadline even further. This has been the Agricultural Law and Tax Report. I'm Roger McCowan.
It's called the George Miller Memorial Scholarship, named after a man who was an icon in the Holstein breed, an industry pillar within select sires for almost two decades, and a generous leader in many other breed associations. Vice President of Dairy Cattle Breeding for Select Sires, Jeff Ziegler, tells us what sparked the idea for the scholarship.
At Select, we tried to do our very best to remember the heritage and what success stories built the company. George is one of those true success stories, not only for Select Sires, but the industry in whole.
Hosted by the Holstein Foundation and awarded by Holstein Association USA, the soon-to-be annual scholarship is brand new in 2023. Among many contributions to the dairy industry on the national and global scale, George Miller's claim to fame was a specific bull he helped breed, Round Oak Rag Apple Elevation.
He was instrumental in breeding and developing, and really putting Holstein breed onto a new path.
The already popular scholarship brought in a lot of interest right from the start.
We had 24 applicants in a short period of time, and kudos to the foundation for getting the word out there that this scholarship was even there. They did a marvelous job of social media presence in particular to get the word around, to get some quality kids in, and the application process and selection was very difficult.
Because the George Miller Memorial Scholarship was built to represent all he did for the industry, the chosen recipient needed to share the same passion for giving back. Kylie Conine, a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, was awarded the first ever $1,000 scholarship during the recent National Holstein Convention.
I plan to enter the dairy industry in consultation of some manner, whether that be in genetics or nutrition. And so just kind of the whole concept and the aspect and the impact that Mr. Miller was able to make as a sire analyst for Select Sires, real life applying that within the dairy industry and other aspects.
Besides staying active in many junior Holstein activities, Kylie is proving how serious she is about the Holstein industry between school semesters.
This summer, I am an intern for Cargill Animal Nutrition, and so I'm working with a research project with their technical team, and I'm hoping to find correlations between rumination information with both production, health, and then also different nutrient values in their diet.
For future recipients, the partnership between the George Miller Memorial Scholarship and Holstein Association USA is a natural one.
George was a great ambassador for the Holstein Association in general. Really believed in the programs and services that the Holstein Association has offered, and would do his best to go out of his way to support the association.
Select Sires has been allocating funds for the scholarship from semen sales of a sire with George Miller in his name. Visit HolsteinFoundation.org to learn more. For Holstein Association USA, I'm Bob Cervera.
This is the Agnet News Hour by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. But don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Agnet News Hour or Agnet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Agnet News Hour. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
Why do we have GMOs? Actually, we've been modifying crops for thousands of years to prevent crop loss from pest and weather damage, to grow more food on less land, even to improve nutrition. Today, GMOs are developed for the same reasons. With genetic engineering, scientists can change and improve crops more easily and quickly. Feed your mind with more GMO facts on FDA's website.
Welcome back to the Agnet News Hour by Agnet West, providing you with statewide agriculture news daily. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Now let's listen in to more featured segments.
Last Friday, we looked at the performance of agricultural commodities for the month of September. Not a good month, but year to date, numbers look a little better. I'm Mark Oppold with your bottom line report as we begin the fourth quarter, brought to you by Kloss Equipment. Now's your chance to refuel your farm equipment for free thanks to Kloss. Register for your chance to win $10,000 worth of free farm diesel. Go to fuel.kloss.com, fuel.klaas.com. Well, looking at September, not a profitable month for 48 commodities that we track, but the picture brightens some when looking at the big picture and performance year to date. Through the first three quarters, orange juice, sugar, and cocoa far outdistance any agricultural, energy, or financial market, finishing 1, 2, 3. Now, the highest agricultural commodity we comment on, live cattle and feeder cattle, in the 7th and 8th position, both up around 17.5% year-to-date. But corn and wheat very near the bottom, corn down 21%, wheat down 31% year-to-date. At the very bottom, natural gas. But the fourth quarter and colder weather offers better demand ahead. This is the bottom line report. We're going to be staying optimistic beginning this fourth quarter, looking for a higher grain and livestock trade this week. I'm Mark Oppold, wishing you a profitable day and a profitable week ahead.
Here's a TV commercial stab from the past, 1969.
It's a real thing. Coke is the way it should be. Coca-Cola.
We are playing this old Coca-Cola commercial not to sell the product. We of the Agriculture Department not allowed to do that. But just to set the stage a little bit for a really neat story that you're about to hear, we hope, on this edition of Agriculture USA, I'm Gary Crawford. Well, while we have the chance, let's go with one more classic TV ad, this one from 1971.
I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke
and keep it company.
So what has the Coca-Cola Company got to do with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and its Forest Service? Well, it turns out that the Ag Department has been working with the Coca-Cola Company for the last 10 years to do a lot of environmental-type work in our national forests, wetlands, and watersheds, work to improve the quality of the water coming out of those watersheds and going into homes and businesses. Coca-Cola and the Ag Department forged a 5-year agreement back in 2013 to share the costs of those projects. The agreement worked so well it was renewed in 2018 for another 5 years. And you guessed it, a few days ago in Washington, officials of the Coca-Cola Company and USDA got together to renew it again. And the Ag Department's Deputy Undersecretary for Natural Resources, Merrill Harrell, says under the agreement,
we're able to co-invest in watershed projects in a number of places around the country.
to be able to accomplish water treatments that make a difference to watershed health, to aquatic habitat, and to quality of water for communities downstream.
But why are the folks at the Coca-Cola Company interested in sharing costs of those projects, costs that can run into the millions of dollars? We asked Kirsten Witt with Coke's environmental policy team. She told us.
It is part of our purpose and our mission to make a difference and ensure that the communities that we serve are healthy and sustainable. And water is a critical component of that. And so for us, it's also the main ingredient in our beverage. But human life is dependent on water. Much of the resources in this country and elsewhere around the world are under a great deal of stress. And we recognize that we need to do as much as we can to help protect this precious resource. And so much of the work that we're doing is focused on protecting and also engaging the local community to make sure that everyone understands sort of the importance of conserving water, protecting our watersheds. So collectively, we hope we can do more together in partnership.
So how exactly does that partnership work? For that, we went over to Kurt Ritter, who helps run Coca-Cola's North American Sustainability Function.
We jointly evaluate different projects together and determine the viability of those projects, and then we will determine cost and how we can share in that. So generally, we share a 50-50, if you wish, unless there's other potential partners that join certain projects.
Well, can you give us an idea of what kind of projects that you're talking about?
Recent project we completed together in Gunnison, Colorado, where a lot of the runoff from the water from the mountains doesn't properly enter into the wetlands, and it runs off in the streams without being preserved. So by restoring some of the wetland habitat through the creation of beaver dams and other man-made initiatives, you can actually conserve more water up in the wetlands that then can continuously benefit the surrounding habitat that depends on that water.
And the Deputy Agriculture Secretary, Social Torres Small, told the signing ceremony for the new agreement that the partnership with Coke over the last 10 years has produced lots of good results.
So far, the partnership has resulted in 900 acres of land restored, which achieved over 14 miles of stream restoration with more than 1,000 stream restoration structures installed and 17 miles of river, as well as 62 acres of upstream lake reconnected.
She says this unique partnership has allowed the Agriculture Department to do over $5 million worth of environmental work using only $2.5 million of taxpayer dollars. And with that, she and Kurt Ritter signed the agreement.
Yay.
Extending the partnership for 5 more years. This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Gary Crawford for the USDA.
This is the Agnet News Hour by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. But don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Agnet News Hour or Agnet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Agnet News Hour. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines, such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
You've been listening to the Agnet News Hour by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Neal. For today's interview segment, Agnet West's Brian German chats with Adam Borchard. They talk about the involvement of the California Fresh Fruit Association with the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance.
We're joined by Adam Borchard this morning, Director of Government and Public Policy for the California Fresh Fruit Association. And now, Adam, you're typically engaged in a lot of issues impacting farmers. And so what are some of the things you're working on and keeping tabs on?
I'll say on the federal front, Congress is
going to be working on appropriation for USDA as well as reauthorization on the Farm Bill. CFFA is a member of the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance, and we have been very active in various initiatives to promote the specialty crop industry, most notably in working with Congressman Valadao's office on H.R. 5061, which is the Specialty Crop Domestic Promotion Program Act, and H.R. 5062, the Specialty Crop Mechanization Assistance Act. And both of those measures have bipartisan support among California's congressional delegation and across the U.S. Coming back to California, in the last month of session, a lot of the bills that fortunately have been defeated in the policy committee hearings in the second house took care of a lot of the water rights proposals, reform, quote unquote, reform proposals, but there are a few lingering bills out there, as well as bills that deal with pesticide usage that we continue to advocate on. So we'll have a busy August into September on behalf of the fresh fruit industry.
And just kind of picking those apart a little bit on the federal side with I've been tracking the specialty crop kind of things that are being talked about. You said it's a bipartisan effort there. Is there I know it's hard to speculate, but is it seemingly getting a pretty robust amount of support in terms of, you know, getting that moving forward and hopefully in there for specialty crop growers?
Yeah, we think so. Obviously, the budget number is going to be the critical factor, as we've seen this year with the Congress. But there is bipartisan support and support across the country in the specialty crop industries in the states that are affected. You know, it's kind of remarkable that we're able to promote our industry abroad, but we're not able to in the domestic market. And then with respect to mechanization, we're not looking for a complete federal handout. What we're looking is a cost share with private partners, where the similar to what we do on EQIP for conservation measures, just providing additional funding that helps leverage growers to be able to buy mechanized equipment for their operations.
And you've been at this for quite some time, and you know, the Farm Bill hasn't historically been overly focused in specialty crops, but you know, in the last couple cycles, does it seem like specialty crops maybe have maybe unified or brought a collective voice to maybe get some more support specifically for specialty crops in the Farm Bill?
Yeah, and definitely we made great advances in the 2018 Farm Bill, and we're hoping to build on those advances. And it does help for our industry that we're able to promote. It's a domestic supply of healthy and nutritious food for hopefully a U.S. domestic consumer base. So yeah, we're optimistic that we can make further advances both on the nutrition front and then on various efforts within industry. And we're increasingly more acting more in unison with our partners in different states and different organizations as well.
Thanks, Brian, and stay tuned as we'll have more of the day's agriculture news and farm features here on the AgNet News Hour. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and at Statewide Agriculture News at your convenience. All you have to do is search our name of AgNet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's AgNet West. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
You've been listening to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Welcome back. We've got more of the day's agriculture news right now. Chinese ag research is a major threat to U.S. food security. Dr. David Ortega with Michigan State University tells Ag Senate committee members during a recent hearing that a huge Chinese investment in agricultural research is a bigger threat to U.S. food security than Chinese purchases of U.S. farmland.
I would consider China's investment in agricultural research and technology one of the biggest threats to our food security. China, since 2011, became the largest funder of agricultural research and development, far surpassing the U.S. and the European Union. They are currently spending five times more on research and development today than they were two decades ago. In comparison, here in the U.S., our spending and investment has fallen, and it's fallen by about a third over the last two decades. And it is close to about half of what China is spending, and their trajectory is upward. We are falling behind, and it's what I would consider to be one of the most serious threats to our food security, is their level of investment.
Federal complaint alleges environmental violations by eBay. The Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Justice this week filed a complaint against eBay. The complaint alleges eBay allows the unlawful selling of pesticides, violating the Clean Air Act, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, commonly known as FERA, and the Toxic Substance Control Act. FERA prohibits the unlawful distribution or sale of unregistered, misbranded, and restricted-use pesticides, and authorizes the EPA to issue stop sale use or removal orders. The complaint also alleges that eBay has unlawfully distributed or sold at least 23,000 such products, and that some of those sales directly violated a stop sale order issued to eBay in 2020 and amended in 2021. Examples of these pesticides include a high toxicity insecticide banned in the U.S., restricted use pesticide that only certified applicators may apply, and products fraudulently claiming to protect users against SARS-CoV-2. The complaint also targets aftermarket parts that defeat motor vehicle emission controls. For more on this, visit www.justice.gov. An AFB contributed to that report.
The 2023 California Farm to School Conference will offer opportunities for partners from across the state to network, learn, and grow together. This year's event is taking place October 24th and 25th in Palm Springs. It's being hosted by the California Department of Food and Agriculture in partnership with the Office of First Partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom and the Alice Waters Institute. This year's event will be taking place at Aziz Farms and Packhouse and is open to school nutrition leaders, educators, farmers, and farm-to-school support organizations. Day one of the conference will feature a shared meal, farm tours, and facilitated innovation sessions for sharing best practices, collaboration, and connection. Day two of the conference will feature education sessions and a farmers market lunch with California Produce. More information about the conference is available on the upcoming events page at agnetwest.com. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, USDA Research, Education, and Economics Undersecretary Shavana Jacobs-Young explained the mission of an initiative to promote improved nutrition through research, information, and community involvement.
A Center for Better Health is an initiative in the Department of Agriculture. It was launched on last year, and in the interim, we've done a lot of community engagements and really working with communities across this country. The overall intent is translating all of the best and most innovative nutrition research that we're conducting, both in government and outside of government, to translations to improving people's lives, really helping to reduce the prevalence of chronic disease, in some cases really help prevent cancer by promoting nutrition and health and healthy lifestyle choices. And that's going to come from working with our partners across the country and being in the communities where it matters the most.
Jacobs-Young go on to talk about recent community engagements over the past year on nutrition needs and how those can be addressed within that new USDA nutrition-oriented initiative.
what we learned is that there are many differences between the nutritional needs of people. You and I have different nutritional needs. And just as different as those needs are, there are also differences in the communities and cultures that we serve and how they interact with food and how they receive their information around food and nutrition. And so we want to go in and we really want to break down barriers, and we want to really help people better understand how to take that guidance and apply it to their everyday lives to reduce the prevalence of chronic disease, and in many cases, be able to impact the longevity and quality of their lives.
Animal rights groups welcome a bill to end milk mandate. Legislation recently introduced would give kids a nutritionally equivalent plant-based milk option to cow's milk in the National School Lunch Program. Welcomed by animal rights groups, the Addressing Digestive Distress in Stomachs of Our Youth Act requires public schools to offer a nutritionally equivalent soy milk option and allows USDA to reimburse schools for those purchases, just as it does for cow's milk. Animal Wellness Action President Wayne Parcell says, quote, "The federal government is overreaching by subsidizing and promoting milk beyond its natural appeal to consumers. Under law, USDA provides a reimbursement of $1 billion for cow's milk to public schools across the country, placing a carton of milk on every tray. Earlier this year, the National Milk Producers Federation responded by stating, quote, "The latest ploy among the vegan, animal rights, and plant-based lobbies is to suddenly plant themselves as a social justice crusader, demanding that their nutritionally inferior products should now be treated as legitimate milk substitutes in federal nutrition programs." The National Association of Farm Broadcasters contributed to that report.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can also stay connected by following us on our social media at Agnet West on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also find our broadcast team of Danielle Leal, Brian German, and Sabrina Halvertson on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for listening to the Agnet News Hour from Agnet West. Agnet West Radio Network, your primary choice for agriculture news.